My name is Dustin Washington, and I'm with the People's Coalition for Justice, and I'll be the moderator for this rally today. Before anything is said, I want to first thank all the people that were out on 23rd and Union from the time of the shooting until today. Everybody should give them a big round of applause for standing up for the community. I also want to make it clear that this rally is the first step in a long-term campaign to make, not beg, but to make the Seattle police stop killing our people.
Thank you!
The murder of Aaron Roberts will not go unanswered.
Yeah!
And I want to make it clear to the negative people who don't think we can make them change, y'all can lay down and accept the oppression, but we refuse to accept it any longer. But we can't do it without everyone. Black, white, red or yellow, gay or straight, rich or poor. This is not a civil rights problem or just a black problem. This is a human rights problem that everyone should care about. So we call on everyone in this city who cares about equality and cares about justice to join us in this struggle. So I want to ask everyone in the crowd today, are you tired of the police murdering black men?
Yeah!
Are you tired of racial profiling by the police?
Yes!
Are you tired of the mayor, the chief of police, and the city council making excuses for killer cops?
Yes!
Are you ready for action?
Yes!
Is it time to rise up and demand justice?
Yes!
And let me hear you say, we want justice!
We want justice!
We want justice!
We want justice!
We want justice.
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 Thank you. Thank you. So, before we begin, we're going to have two poems by Marlene and Sarah from El Centro de la Raza. Give them a round of applause.
My name is Marlene Nava, and I'm from the Central Poetry Class, and my poem is called Think Twice. You're looking for a job, you think police. You say, I think I won't be a police. Are you crazy? You need to think twice now, listen to me. You think police are like guardian angels, that they will protect you. But let me tell you about the real police. They're like vampires. In the night, they act...
Take your time.
They're like vampires. In the day, they wave and smile from their cars, acting like angels.
Don't.
But when night falls, they have the power to kill a life. If you want to be a police, you're going to be hated by many people, and soon you will become an animal that likes to kill people and likes to show people that they can't mess with you because you'll kill them. People will fear you, not think you're a hero. So maybe you should think twice before being a person that likes to kill. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah Martinez, and I'm from the Centro's Poetry Class also. The poem I'm going to read is called Police. Police are a disgrace to this country. They don't have respect for nobody. For them, people are dirt on the bottom of their shoe. All they do is look out for themselves and high-class people who live in mansions by the lake. They go around killing teens, bums, blacks, and brown people like me. Then they make up some crazy stories so they won't get busted. But one of these days, there's going to be a volcano with anger erupting like red-hot fire. Thank you.
Our next speaker will be Gary Owens from the Northwest Labor Employment Law Office.
Thank you, Dustin. I'll make my comments brief, but when he asked me to speak, I wanted to talk about three things. I wanted to talk about justified, justice, and just us. Okay? Justify, justice, and just us. In years past, thousands of black people were lynched by so-called ordinary citizens who conducted their version of the people's law. In righteous tones, They called it justified.
Oh, I'm out.
Brother Roberts was lynched by SPD when they stopped him for so-called driving erratically. Being a known ex-felon with outstanding warrants and being black in the CD. Brother Roberts died for trying to escape the final knot in the hangman's noose. He swung in the wind anyway, like Billie Holiday said, strange fruit in her song. So far we hear it was justified. For scores of decades in this city, we have heard the same verdict over and over. David Allen Walker, Antonio Dunsmore, Edward Anderson, Lonnie Davis, Michael Ealy, Urban Bascom, William Tucker, Antonio Jackson, Beauregard Mitchell, and my fallen comrades in the Seattle chapter of the Black Panther Party. Weldon, Butch, Armstead, Henry Boyer, Sidney Miller, and Alfred Postel. More than 30 people have been killed by SPD officers since 1980. Justice. In each of these cases, a six-person King County District Court coroner's inquest jury has found all the police shootings mentioned justifiable with no recommendation for prosecution. None of these officers involved were charged with a criminal act. They have been called accidents, self-defense, and mistakes without criminal intent. Institutionalized racism has got quite comfortable during the 23-year term of Prosecutor Norm Mailey. Maybe we need to take him out. Legally. Legally. Oh, you reported legally. I'm a peaceful man. The closest we got to justice was the Antonio Dunsmore case, where the verdict was rendered unnecessary but justified after 28 entry and entrance wounds, exit wounds, for a mentally disabled man with a clear plastic water pistol. No value, no loss. The perception that black lives have been devalued is not only a reflection in the minds of blacks that they are being racially profiled by police officers and more easily murdered as a result of that profile, but it is a reflection and byproduct of the reality in black America that blacks were once legally considered three-fifths of a person, were enslaved without wages, freed without compensation, denied the right to vote, and discriminated against in every sphere of life for over 100 years after slavery ended. And who today are disproportionately in bad health, without skills, homeless, incarcerated and poor, and so on, in the richest nation in the world. So when it comes to one life, no value, no loss. Aaron Roberts was afraid, so he tried to get away. Running from the police is self-defense and preservation for most black males. No crime, no justice. He killed no one, robbed no one, sold no drugs. He just tried to get away. And in running away, he paid the ultimate price. But that's no crime, supposedly. The brother was lynched because he wouldn't stand still. The verdict is in from them downtown, and Brother Roberts is guilty. Now the last part, just us. Brother Malcolm said, the South is everything south of the Canadian border. So here we are today to talk about, well, what are we going to do? That's the Just Us agenda. Certainly, as Dustin alluded to, we need to pull together with all of our allies, regardless of color, regardless of sexual orientation, whatever. We all need to do this together. We need to create our own leadership. And you know what I mean. Our own leadership. You know what I mean? If you know what I mean, raise your hand. Okay. We also, as he said, need to focus on human rights. If Brother Roberts' death was not a crime, we know his human rights were violated.
That's right.
And that's what we need to talk about more. We need to educate ourselves about institutional racism, about capitalism, about globalization, about reparation, about the prison industrial complex.
I'm out.
All right? We need to revisit affirmative action, welfare reform, election reform, and relevant education. We need to develop our own analysis of the problem and the solution.
I'm out.
We need to practice, and this is very important for today, we need to practice unity and discipline without opportunism. Let me say it again. We need to practice unity and discipline without opportunism. And lastly, we must prepare for mass civil disobedience. Thank you very much.
Our next speaker will be Juan Bocanegra, Director of the Downtown Human Services Council. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you. You know, last night I started emailing some of my Latino brothers and sisters, and out of all the emails I sent out, one email came back and the brother said, you know, while you're trying to ignite discontent in the community, I just want to remind you about one thing, and he said, you know, what have blacks done for us? Have they ever talked about our issues? And it's interesting because this brother doesn't know history, you know, and I'm sorry that a lot of our brothers and sisters don't know history. You know, they don't know that the occupation of Mexico by the Spaniards, there were Africans there who fought the Spaniards. Diego Rivera put it in his murals, and you can see the images of nativos and Africans on the murals depicting the history of Mexico. He doesn't know that when Fidel came to Harlem, it was the black people in the community who gave him sanctuary when the whole of U.S. police forces were against him. He doesn't know that this year, in October 12th, while we were out in Washington, D.C., protesting unjust immigration laws, the people that came to our aid, because we didn't have a podium, we didn't have microphones, we didn't have a place to speak from, because we were just a little bit unimportant for the forces in Washington, D.C. And the people that supported us were the Muslims in Washington, D.C., the Million Family March. We asked them for the help, and they gave us the speakers, systems. They gave us the whole stage for us to have our rally. So, you know, it's unfortunate that more and more people seem to forget their history, seem to forget all the years that it took for us to develop solidarity in the city of Seattle, for example. When I first got to Seattle in 1972, there was a strong development of a coalition of African Americans, Asians, Nativos, and Mexicanos and Chicanos. That process grew so strong that it put fear in the hearts of the authorities here in the city of Seattle. You know, it put fear because as long as we were Latinos fighting by ourselves, as long as we were Asians fighting by ourselves, as long as we were Native Americans fighting by ourselves, and as long as we were African Americans fighting by ourselves, we were no fear to them. We posed no threat to the system. It was when we came together as a fist that we put threat, we put the fear in the heart of those devils. You know? It was that unity. We've been fighting for police accountability for a number of years. The murders of Latinos, the murders of Native Americans, and African Americans in our community did not start yesterday, brothers and sisters. We have been going back to the same temple of doom and saying, please give us a citizen review forum, a forum where we can hold the police accountable for their actions, where we can hold the city administration accountable for its actions. And they have refused to give us. They give us this watchdog bullshit that they call, you know, this individual that's supposed to be a legal that doesn't do shit for us. You know? And so we have to raise the ante one more notch. We have to go up one more notch, brothers and sisters. Because they don't want to hear us. The police department doesn't want to hear us. The police guild is not interested in hearing us. And the mayor of the city of Seattle is definitely not concerned about our problems. The WTO is a good example of that.
You know?
Many times, we see our differences as being our weaknesses. But those differences are actually our strengths. We have the same problems we're having here, our brothers and sisters are having in Brazil. The same problems we're having here, our brothers and sisters are having in Ecuador. The same problems that we're having here, our brothers and sisters are having in Colombia. The same problems that we're having here, our brothers and sisters are having in Mexico City, in the United States, imposed on us that Coca-Cola kid, Fox, who is right now negotiating a guest worker program with the United States without any possibility of providing any type of actual sanctuary for our people, but nothing but pure slavery. We cannot stand idly by, as Gary has said. What we have to say is, no justice, no peace. 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 Gracias.
Our next speaker is going to be K.L. Shannon from the People's Coalition for Justice, and is going to read a list of some of the demands, not all of the demands we've developed, but some of the demands. Please give her a round of applause. Right.
Now, if you agree with these demands, I want to hear some. Cheers. The first demand that we want, we want both officers involved in the shooting of Aaron Roberts to be fired. You agree with that? Another demand that we want is a citywide ordinance stronger than a mayor resolution against police brutality and racial profiling. We live in a city where it is illegal to sit on the sidewalk. Shouldn't police brutality and racial profiling be classified as crimes?
Yes.
No, you guys got to be louder than that. Shouldn't it be crimes for police brutality and racial profiling?
Yes.
We want an economic development program which would allow the poor to pay for broken tail lights, missing lights, license plate bugs, and other minor violations that are frequently the justification for race-based stops. And we also want a review and change of the SPD's policy on the use of deadly force with direct involvement from communities of color. Those are just some of the demands that we want. I can't hear you guys. Because we need to get moving, I can't read all the demands, but I just want to put out there that this is a non-violent protest, a non-violent demonstration, and that we're going to take care of each other this evening. That we are brothers and sisters in a struggle, and we are going to take care of each other this evening. Can I hear you on that? Are we going to take care of each other this evening? This is a non-violent protest, and I'm glad the cameras are here to hear that. Thank you. Peace.
Peace.
Our next speaker is going to be Reverend Harriet Walden, Director of Mothers for Police Accountability. Give her applause, too.
Well, once again, we find ourselves here. Last year, last spring, it was David Walker, who was a mentally ill man who was, we know that grown-ups don't skip. I mean, not even on the beach with their children, we know grown-ups don't skip. And so now we find ourselves here again with Mr. Aaron Roberts. And mothers will continue to say that these shootings are not justified. Yeah, I don't care what they say. They're not justified. I mean, because when you, how many people have been to Dr. Larry's office up there on 23rd when you got to back out? Okay, you got to back out up there onto the street in order to get out. So, I mean, that's not erratic driving to back out of there. There's no other way out. There's no other way out, because if you've been here a long time, you know Safeway used to be there. All right, it was a parking lot there, right? How many people believe or remember when Safeway was there? All right, and so you could park your car right there, and then you could go out both sides. When the Casey Foundation went there, they blocked the other way. They put up a fence, and it's no way to go out of that, go out of those two businesses over there, Dr. Clarence Larry and then Collins. There's no way to leave there but outside of, but backing out. And if you go going north, and I mean, I've done it 1,000 times and I've never been stopped. I've done it 1,000 times up there, because I'm at 23rd and 23rd and Union twice a day. I go to the post office twice a day. So I'm up on that corner every day. And I just know that we're just tired of it. I mean, I don't care what other people say. I don't care what other people say about how we're always jumping to conclusion. We have a right to jump to conclusion. Our history tells us we have a right to jump to conclusion. We're not, I mean, we have a right to be this way. You know, we have a right to be this way. You know, I mean, and just look at the difference. The FBI man who shot the Weaver woman gonna be tried. I mean, does everybody know that piece? He was gonna be tried for murder. And Idaho gonna lock him up. What you think Idaho gonna do over there with that man? They gonna lock up that FBI agent over there. And we can't even get a police trial in Seattle. Okay? I mean, so it's something else that's going on. I passed out some ribbons out here, and I don't know if everyone got one, but we'll make sure that people can get them. And, you know, this is a solidarity. Uh-oh. Okay, well, I can just talk loud. I got a big mouth. I mean,
amen.
You
know, amen.
Loud, okay? I mean, I've been talking loud all of my life. Even when I was in kindergarten, I talked loud. Okay, so everybody who got one of these ribbons out here, this is a solidarity ribbon. Black is for our color. That will always be with us. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
We agree with that. Black is for our color. That will always be with us. Red is for the blood that continues to be shed. And green is for this land that our ancestors worked free to make prosper.
That's right.
And that's right.
We just said we want justice and we want it now.
Let's go stop us, Steve.
Oh, Tyree.
Hey, we want justice, and when do we want it?
Now!
We want justice, people, and when do we want it?
Now!
That's right, and we have a right to be this way. History is on our side. History is on our side because we have been lynched and killed more by other people than they've ever been killed by us. So, I mean, when people are afraid of us, we need to be afraid of them. Because history shows us who kills us the most, okay? So let's be in solidarity and let us understand that, you know, we can make a difference. I mean, you know, I mean, all we have is one another. I mean, because we got a system that don't believe we have a right to be. But sisters and brothers, we have a right to be.
Our next speaker will be Martin Freeman from the Coalition of Anti-Racist Whites. Round of applause, please.
Hello. I just have a few words, and I'd like to dedicate these words to the students that are graduating from Garfield and Rainier Beach High Schools.
Woo! Yeah!
Louder.
Why is it that every time a black man is killed by a white cop, people start screaming that racism is involved? I've been listening to the radio the last few days, and I've been hearing that question asked by many white people. They ask, how come no one says it is racism if a black cop kills a white man? They ask, why does it always have to be about race? They ask, why do black people always pull out the race card whenever something like this happens? They ask, why can't we just look at the individuals involved without consideration of race? Well, as a white man, I'd like to take a shot at answering some of those questions. First of all, could you please name for me all of the white men killed by black cops? Okay, just name me the last white person killed by a black cop around here. We can't really name any, can we?
Sure can.
But what we can do is name the black man killed by white cops here in the last few years. Michael Ealy, David Walker, and now Aaron Roberts. I don't know if the policemen who shot these men consider themselves racist or not. It doesn't matter whether they consider themselves racist because they are part of a racist system. They perpetuate a racist system. Somewhere along the line has told us that a black man's life is worth less than a white man's life. That a black man's life is worth less time, worth less effort, and worth less negotiating before that trigger is pulled. That a black man is worthless. Why can't we just look at this in terms of individuals involved? We can't because the system deals with us all as part of a collective. People of color know that because they deal with the effects of racism every day of their lives. As white people, we have been given the privilege of accessing those systems every day of our lives, but we have also been given the privilege to feel like we are doing it as an individual. For us as white people, the police signify safety. For people of color, they are something to be feared. While people of color are being harassed by the racist police every day in the central area, white people who are moving in are creating 911 phone trees to increase the police patrols in these same neighborhoods. As white people, we don't have to see that this racist system is killing people of color while we as white people benefit every day. And as far as the race card goes, people have it all wrong. Race isn't a card played by folks of color. They deal with race every day. Race is our trump card. White people play it every time we want something from an institution or a system. White people shuffle the deck because we own all of the cards. And still we ask, why does it always have to be about race? It has to be about race because we as white people made it about race. People are dying because of their race. Other people have privilege because of their race. Aaron Roberts was killed because of his race. Whether we as white people choose to believe that or not, it will be about race until we as white people do whatever it takes to make it no longer about race. Thank you. Our next speaker will be Ronald Shannon from Seattle Street Connections.
It's good to see the collective unity of this community today. I'm glad to see everybody's here today in unity to support this struggle, because we are all in a struggle together.
Yeah.
We're in a struggle for justice, we're in a struggle for equality, and we're in a struggle for our fallen brother. Because injustice has reared its ugly head, excuse me.
Yeah.
I believe someone once said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Right. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
All right, act like y'all feel me out there.
Yeah.
We need to come together to do something special today.
Yeah.
Seattle has stood on the forefront of technology. Can we stand on the forefront of justice and equality? Can we come together behind our brother? Can we come together with each other black, white, it don't matter what race, it don't matter what creed, it don't matter how much money you got. Can we come together to stop this? Yes. We can put an end to this right now.
Yes.
Right now, we can end this.
Yes.
We come together in peace. But we carry a strong message. This message is so strong, it doesn't have to stop in Seattle. It can go worldwide.
Go worldwide.
Because a man doesn't have to be judged by the color of his skin. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Look here. Each and every one of you is in the struggle. Each and every one of you. Each and every one of you can stick your hands in to do this work. Because it's before us. It's in front of all of us. All you got to do, even if you're scared, is grab your neighbor and put one foot in front of the other.
That's right.
And we'll all get there together.
Yes. All right.
If we stand in unity, can't nothing shake us apart.
Yes.
No human power can shake us apart if we stand in unity to right the wrongs.
Yes.
It's time to stop looking the other way. Because
hey.
Next time it could be your brother.
Yes.
Next time it could be your son. Next time it could be your daughter.
Yes.
We need to come together, everybody. Ain't no sense of looking the other way. Ain't no sense of waiting on somebody else to do it. It's time.
Today. Right now. Hello?
Check the switch.
Hello? All right. It's time. Each and every one. The children are our future. We better look out for them. Because if we don't, who do they have? Are we going to let our children fall in the streets?
No!
Every one of you out there has a child, a brother, a nephew, someone. We didn't just get here. It's time we start looking out for each other. Holding each other's hands through the hard times. Because we are involved in the struggle. And we need each other right now. Right now. On this march. In this rally, to talk to the congressman, to talk to the city council, to talk to the mayor, to talk to the police chief. We need some changes right now. Not tomorrow, not next year, not next election. We need to do this now. And it's our job. It's not the next man's, it's not the next woman's. But together, in unity. Did you hear what I said about unity? Do y'all feel me on unity? Let's stand together. To perpetuate justice, not injustice, justice and equality for not just one race, but all races. Man, white, black, white, man, woman, it don't matter what color, what background, we need justice and equality.
That's right.
Let's stand together. Let's do this. And once again, I want to remind you, this is peaceful. Let peace and unity be the platform on which we stand together today. Let's watch out for our babies. Let's watch out for the elderly. But let's make sure if they want to march, if we want to stand, then we can stand together. We can hold each other. We can walk each other through this. And can't nothing shake us apart. Thank you.
Our next speaker will be Miss Ophelia Ely, the mother of Michael Ely.
Thank you, Mr. Washington, Mr. Destin Washington. Let's give him a big hand because he's doing a wonderful job. He's doing a wonderful job. To the Roberts family and the community, it is a pleasure to be here. And it is wonderful seeing all of you beautiful people. And you know, I hope you give yourself a big hand because you're here. So give yourself a hand too. But you know, I hope that you are here to stay. Because this thing is not a thing just for one day or tomorrow, but it's a continued fight. And if we fight together, we're going to win this thing because too many innocent people have died. Too many innocent people have been murdered. and there is no justification for it. So what are you going to do about it as people? I am telling you, I'm sick and tired of talking. I've been downtown to many, many people downtown, and they feel that they do not have to answer to us.
No, they don't.
Now, what are you going to do about that? We are going to go down there again and again and again, and I don't think anything is going to happen, but we have to show them what we mean.
This is an election year.
Now, we know that the ballot box talk.
Yep.
So the people that we put in office downtown, we need to get them out of office because they're not representing us. The police that we pay our taxes to protect us, are they protecting us?
No.
Well, what are you going to do about it? As long as you go home in your boudoir very quietly, they are going to continue to do with what they are doing right now that's killing my son, your son, not killing, murder. It is murder, people. So could I hear you say murder?
Murder!
Okay, that's what it is. It's murder. So I am sick and tired of saying it. And every day you need to remind yourself that this is murder. Now, when you have an innocent man who may be ill, and these idiots choke him to death or shoot him in the back, what do you think that is? Now, I heard somebody say we want the police off the street that just killed Mr. Roberts. But we want the people off the street who killed our other folks, too. Because they are still there and they're going to stay there. But don't we want them off the street? Because they're going to kill someone else. And I keep reminding myself, and every time I have the opportunity to speak to someone, I ask them, who is going to be next? I could be next. You don't have to commit a crime to be killed. You don't have to commit a crime to be murdered, do you?
No.
Well, what are you going to do about it, folks? I'm tired of asking you. I would like to demand justice. I would like to demand that you get out of your boudoirs and in your comfort zone and do something about this situation. Now, I tell you what, you don't have to take out a gun and shoot anybody, but I tell you what, if we stay downtown in their office, they will get sick and tired of us being down there. And we need to tell them that when we, another thing I want to say is that when we go to court, some people feel that it is that they do not have the right to say when someone is guilty. But I know that it doesn't matter who you are. If you are guilty of a crime, you should pay for it, right? You should be accountable for it. But it seems to me that when we are trying a policeman downtown, that our people are afraid to say that they are guilty. And I have proof to prove that we had some black people on the jury, and they said that the police were innocent of excessive force. So what do we do about this? We need to educate ourselves to let us know that people, if you commit a crime, that you are guilty. You are guilty. Now, another thing I want to mention here is that if we can't do this, then we need to do away with the judicial system. Because the police is the judicial system. The police is the judicial system because they are deciding that we are guilty before we go to court. So we don't need a court, do we? So now what I want you to do, and I want to add a few more demands on that KL were talking about, because we want to see that the laws are changed in this city, like the inquest process, because that's one thing, that's the first thing they're going to say, that it was justifiable. And we want to see that these racist policemen get off the street. I'm going to request that again, or go to jail is what they are going to do, because you see today what the court did in back east, they decided that the Weaver case, the people had a right to take them to court. So that's what we need to do. We need to take people to court, because we feel that if the inquest tells us that they are innocent, then we just go home and do nothing about it. So I want you to state that you are going to support the policies and the changes that we are going to try to get through in the in the courts as far as laws, as far as justice is concerned. So could I get you to promise that you will support these causes?
Yeah.
And another thing, we want to make people accountable for what they do. We have to have accountability. They make us accountable, so we want them to be accountable. We want to make sure that we get all of the bad apples out of the barrel, right? We want to make sure that we get the KKKs off of the street and skinheads and bigots and liars. We want them removed off the police force, don't we, and out of our city. We want to run them out of town. Okay? So we know that justice is not given to us. We know that we have to fight for justice. We have to fight for justice every day. So please, folks, support us, and God bless all of you. And keep looking. Look next to your side and ask who's going to be next, because there are going to be someone else unless we stand up and fight this thing together. It doesn't matter whether who you are, what organization you belong to. We know that we are against police brutality and murder. So we can all stick together on that, can't we? So let me hear you say you will stand together and fight this thing. All of you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
If some of the peacekeepers can come up here and grab this banner. We have two more speakers, then we're going to get ready for the march. Our next speaker is Rudy James, who's the Secretary General of the United Native Nations. Please give him a big round of applause.
What banner are you referring to?
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. In my language, I'm telling you who I am. My name is the first and oldest raven. And what we see unfolding, and have been seeing for a lot of years, is a tragedy on the streets of Seattle and really every other major city in the United States of America. These things, that are, this killing of this young man is totally... There's no moral justification for that. And I'm not blaming the cop on the street. Who I'm placing the blame on is their bosses. I'm blaming the city officials. I'm blaming the county officials. I'm blaming the state officials. And I'm blaming the U.S. government. These policies have to change. It's quite easy to identify the problem. But what people of good minds and good judgment have to do is, what can we do about it? And I see a sign over here, a civilian review board. You don't need anybody to authorize you to form your own civilian review board. You can do that on your own. And I also am a member of a United Nations from Geneva, an NGO, and I will give a report in August to what is happening here and what has happened to these people. And you know, as a Native American on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, there's been something like 31 murders of Indian people. The police have investigated every one of them, and they can't find who are killing off these Indians. So we're in the same boat as you folks. We're in the same ship. We have virtually the same problems. So we need to work together. And interestingly enough, just within the last few weeks, the United States of America was booted from the Human Rights Commission of the United Nations in Geneva. Why do you think that happened? Why has the United States of America been booted from the Human Rights Commission? Is it because they're good guys? There's a guy using our Indian language of speaking with a forked tongue. But I want to see something good come of this. You are our brothers and sisters. We do have good brains, and we do need to look at this in a pragmatic way. We need to form a commission of our own. And also that, let me tell you something. The judicial system is just based on laws, and those laws really have no moral foundation. If you have enough money, you can go to Congress and have a law made in your favor. Where does justice come from something like that?
Justice for the rich.
It's just for the rich is absolutely correct. And George Bush is just one of those fellows. Now we can thank him for all these high prices and fuel and other energy costs. And I know some little old ladies who have to make a choice between having heat in the house or food on the table. So we have this brother who has just left us here and went to sleep. His death has triggered a lot of emotion here, and we have to funnel it and channel it in a way that makes sense. We need to confront the city officials of Seattle, the officials of King County, the officials of the state of Washington. Let's do something with intelligence. Let's get something going. Let's form our own civilian review board, and let's not let these people get away with killing people. And we need to, the Seattle Police Department, we need to send a high-powered delegation to sit down with them and let's review their procedures. If they have to shoot somebody, why in the world do they have to shoot him in the body? If all they want to do is stop the guy, how come they can't shoot him in the foot? Or shoot his arm to slow him down? Why do they have to kill him to stop him? I mean, that's common sense. I think that you are right. I think the Seattle so-called peacekeepers are cowards. I think they're afraid to talk to a man straight to the face and set aside his gun. He does not have to speak through the barrel of a gun. That is an act of cowardice. They deal with white boys every day. Now, you don't see them shooting them for just really little things. And so, again, let's keep our heads clear. Let's be rational. Let's form our own commissions. Again, we do not need anybody's authority to do that. But let's remember those people who we put in office. If they don't do the job for Pete's sake, let's not get them back there again. Now, from the Native American standpoint, you folks have our blessing, and in any way that we can help, we will do that as best we can. And so my prayers to the Creator are with you folks. My prayers are going to be that the good, calm heads find a formula of how we can coexist together. We can be different. I love being an Indian. And I know, I see some Asian brothers and sisters here. And I know they love who they are. I see some black people here, and I know they love who they are. So let's enjoy the difference. Let's enjoy that. But let's not let this type... let me tell you something. History has taught us, if you ignore and you deprive some segment of society of true justice, it's just a short time before it goes further. We're actually so close to a police state at this point in time. It's really kind of scary. In my 65 years, I have watched us slide, or watched our freedoms erode further and further away. And I tell some of my white brothers and sisters, you folks need to wake up. You need to understand what is happening around you. They've been doing that to us Indians. They started in California in the 1850s, where they had $1.5 million on a bounty for Indian people. They killed off 94% of the California Indians. This was a bounty placed by the U.S. government. And our people are dying. Another big thing that's happening, they're arresting our young men, both the Indians and blacks, and putting them in prison, and they're worth maybe $100,000 to the white economy for everyone that they put there, as well as the little children who they take away. And so they're hurting us. So again, my prayers are with you folks, and may the Creator bless you all.
Our next speaker will be Reverend Robert Jeffrey of New Hope Baptist Church. two things before I get started. This man right here is my friend. Sergeant Little, he's here, a part of this protest. There is no drug dealing in this park, around this church. How dare you, Sergeant Little, to confront this man and threaten his life? How dare you, in a protest where we are talking about police activity, you would confront him and threaten his life? In front of this church, how dare you? How dare you? And wherever you are, as long as this man is my friend, you better be right when you come after him. You better be absolutely, categorically right. You black sellout. Shame. We are not divided. We are together from the street to the sweep. We are all one people. We are together. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are one community. We are one people. We are one united strength. We are one united fist in the air. And we will have justice, and we will have it now. I'm sorry, but I can't deal with this. This is hard. I got an announcement here. One more thing. I got an announcement here from Sam Pilka. Well, Mr. Pilka, if you wanted to talk to me, you should have come and got to this mic. I am not a part of the mayor's kitchen cabinet. I am not a watermelon eating, cotton picking Negro from Mississippi. I do not respond to secret messages in the middle of the night. I am not your boy. I am not the one that you're looking for. You gotta look again. We have come here tonight not to defend our actions. We're tired of defending ourselves. We haven't come here to debate the nobility of our purpose. Our being here gives testimony to the fact that something is rotten, very rotten, in Seattle. We have high IQs. Our IQs are above 115, unlike the police force of this city. We're not dummies. We're not idiots. We are intelligent people who have made it through God knows how much shame and how much oppression. But we have made it, and we have made it to this point. And we know when something stinks, we know when something is rotten, and we will not go quietly into that dark night. We're here because we have five senses. We can smell it. We can smell the cover-up. It stinks to high heaven. We can smell the fear. We can smell the fear in Mayor Shell. We can smell the fear in the city council. Fear of their own citizens. Fear of their own people. Fear of taxpayers. Fear of people who only want the right for self-determination. Fear of people who only want to live in peace in their community without it being driven out by developers and land speculators promoted by the mayor of the city. All we want is what you want. To raise our children in peace. Have decent schools. Have decent teachers. We can smell it. We can feel it. We can feel the pain of the family. We can feel the pain of the young men who walk in this community, who are stopped and the keys are snatched out of their ignition, which is against the Constitution, which is against the law. It is an invasion of privacy. If they are not arrested, your hand has no business in their car snatching keys out of their ignition. It does not matter. We are not animals. We are human beings. We make mistakes, but so did George Bush. He smoked crack. He smoked dope. He snorted cocaine. He cheated on his wife. He became an alcoholic. And God knows the other rumors about his daughters. And he's president of the United States of America. And he stole that. He gang-busted that. We can hear how the news talks about us in their subtle ways, like we're ravenous animals, wild and unsensitive and unintelligent, and how we don't know what we see, and how we're ignorant, and how we don't really know what murder is. We know what murder is. We've lived with murder all our lives. We've seen our children hanging from trees from one end of this nation to the other. We know what murder looks like. If anybody in this country know what a murder is, we know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. We can see on the faces of the police, they're sneering as they ride through our communities. We can see them laughing at us, because they're protected by their dupes, Margaret Pageler, and all of these dupes that they have downtown who will do anything that they want them to do because they got something on them. We know who the deal is. We know they're the secret police of Seattle. We can taste it. It's like bitter gall in our mouth. It's hard to swallow. It makes us lay awake all night long. It makes us puke when we think about what we got to take in this so-called livable city of the Northwest. So we have not come to beg. Let them have their secret meeting in Garfield with the mayor and the chief of police trotted in like heroes and set up on a pedestal like movie stars and give us 2 minutes to ask complicated questions. And when we don't ask the right, make us sit down and shut up like we're little children in kindergarten. Let them have their meeting. They can have their meeting. The mayor and the chief of police don't have to come and be one of us. They can be the big shots that they are, but the beat will go on. I've got 5 things to ask you, and then we got to march to 23rd Avenue.
Yeah.
Are you fed up?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a protracted struggle?
Yeah.
I mean a long struggle.
Yeah.
A long, hard march through this dark night.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go to jail if you have to?
Yeah.
Are you ready to boycott these businesses in our community who are strip mining the money out of our pockets?
Yeah.
Do you think that if we work together, walk together, stand together, pray together, and be together, that we are going to win? Then let's fight. Time's over for talking. It's time for business to take care of the little work we got to do in this community. Let's